My name's Ava.
And I'm Caleb.
And we are so glad that you have joined us today. Caleb, what do we got coming up here at Only Believe?
Here at Only Believe, we believe that strong marriages are the backbone of healthy families, and healthy families are the backbone of a healthy church. This is the heart behind the small group, Marriage Is Us. Marriage Is Us is a small group specifically designed for couples of all ages who are looking for ways to strengthen their marriage. This small group meets on the second Sunday of every month at 9 a.m. in the lobby. If you have any questions or want more information, you can head on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby.
Hey, church family, Pastor Tim here with Pastor Jared. We're excited to talk to you guys about Move Up Sunday. Take it away, Pastor Jared.
Thanks, Pastor Tim. Yeah, Move Up Sunday is June the 28th, the 10 a.m. service, right at the beginning. We will be praying over our graduating seniors and all the students who are moving into new classes. Pastors Randy and Nicole will be laying hands on them. It will be a powerful time of ministry. We will have information for you in the children's church. We look forward to celebrating this important time with you then.
Are you looking for a way to spend your Friday night? Well, we want to invite you to Gather, happening on July 17th at 6 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. It's a women's only event bringing women together of all ages for a night of real conversation, delicious food, and an encouraging word from Pastor Nicole. To get signed up, you can scan the QR code on the bottom of the screen, or you can head right on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby. And we would like to make all of you know that there is not going to be childcare for this event. We cannot wait to gather with you.
Have you decided to follow Jesus but don't know what your next step is? Well, your next step is baptism. Baptism is one of the ways that we participate in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It's an outward expression of an inward change. And we have a heated indoor baptism waiting for you to take this next step. If you have any questions or you'd like to sign up, you can scan the QR code on the screen or head out to the Welcome Center in the lobby. We can't wait to take this next step with you.
Hey, church family, Pastor Tim here. Just a reminder that Serve Day projects, we still need volunteers for them. So if you haven't signed up yet and you still want to, you can. Here's how you can do it. The QR code on the screen, you can go to the Welcome Center in the lobby and ask them what projects we got going on during Serve Day or through our website. Again, if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me here at the church. Everyone can make a difference. Let's make a difference together.
Are you looking to take your next steps here at Only Believe? Well, we want to invite you to Growth Track, held on the first Sunday of each month, right after service. Growth Track invites you to connect and learn about your God-given gifts and how you can use them in meaningful, powerful ways. And you'll also learn the vision and the history of Only Believe Church and the heart behind the church. And it gives you a perfect opportunity to say yes to becoming a member of Only Believe Church. Our desire for you is to know God, find freedom, discover your purpose, and to make a difference. With lunch and childcare provided, all that's left for you is to come ready to grow and connect. So to sign up, you can scan the QR code on the bottom of the screen, or you can head right on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby. We cannot wait to walk this journey with you.
And as always, if you have any questions or want any more information, you can head on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby, and our team will do the best they can to help you out there. Now, let's prepare our hearts and minds as we dive into God's Word today.
All right, Only Believe. I don't want to take much time, but I need to introduce Dr. Sam. Are you okay with that? I can't think of a better man. I'm not kidding. A better man. And hear me, character is hard to come by in the world today. Integrity. Living a life that is consecrated to God. A better man, an evangelist who's going to come and share the word with us today, who's called by God, literally touching thousands upon thousands of people every single day. And I am honored that Dr. Sam is in our house today. Can we give him a warm Only Believe welcome? Amen. Hallelujah. I've already told Brother Sam, look, see, that's warm. That's what they do. That's what they do. I've already told Dr. Sam that he should feel free to do exactly as the Lord tells him. Do you receive that in your life? Say, I receive it. All right. I just want you to know before, I'm just getting you ready for it, where God's taking us. But Dr. Sam, I want to encourage you that the last time you were here, you shared something with us about where God had called you to step out into. And I want to tell you that that boldness of faith that's in you, let it be unto our house. Amen? Amen. Go get them.
Well, hello, beautiful peoples. How y'all doing? What's up, Ohio? It's so good to be with y'all. God is so, 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 so good. Yes? Our situation might be rotten. It might be ugly. It might be painful. It might be causing tears upon tears. But our God is good. I was looking at the clouds yesterday while coming in, and I'm like, wow, Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of his hands day after day. They pour forth speech, and night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the world, and the words goes to the ends of the world. In the heavens, he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinance of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They're sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned, and in keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his error? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant away from sins. May they not have rule over me. Then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing unto you, O Lord, my God and my Redeemer. Oh, he is a good God. He's such a good God. This law, this book, is so precious. And did you know that 82% of Christ's followers across the world are not in this book? They don't get into this book. And then only 18% are in this book and read it on a daily basis. Did you know that? Did you hear what the law of the Lord does? The law of the Lord is perfect. It revives your soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy. It makes wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right. It gives joy to the heart. You don't need no cardiologist, baby. You need joy. And the Bible brings you joy. And you want to find out why people's bodies are breaking down today? It's because they ain't in the Word. This is better than gold. What's gold sell for today? $4,500 an ounce? It used to be $400. It's going higher and higher. This baby is worth more than gold and all the gold of the world. I study books like crazy to get to open up a heart artery. And you know, we got like the 20th, 25th, 30th edition. Baby, this is it. This don't change. Yeah. One thing in this book, it don't change. It is life. Deuteronomy 32:47. This is not just empty words. This is your life. And I'm talking physical, spiritual, psychological, your whole body. Hallelujah. We're just getting started, y'all. Let's go. Let's go. I love the word. I'm crazy in the cardiac cath lab. I'm crazy here because Jesus is in me. People be like, what drug you on, bro? I'm on JC. They're like, is that new? Nah, baby, that's Jesus Christ. That's what I'm on. Ain't nothing else in life. You can try alcohol. You can try pornography. You can try drugs. You could try Netflix, you could try internet, you can go do whatever you want to do. It's empty, it's zero. This is life right here. This is life, and we love it. Talk about life, we're going to go to Ezekiel. Now, it's rare for me to be in Ezekiel. I'm usually in Isaiah, but we're going to Ezekiel chapter 37. So if you got your Bibles with you, loved ones, let's go, let's do this. In Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Now, who are we talking about? We're talking about Ezekiel. It's about 597 BC. and Nebuchadnezzar is coming down, clamping down on Jerusalem. Assyria has already attacked the northern kingdom. Y'all know that Israel was split into two. The top northern kingdom had 10 tribes. The bottom two kingdoms had two tribes. The north was called Ephraim. The south is called Judah. The Assyria, 700 BC, taken out the 10 tribes. Why? God's name is there, y'all. 2 Chronicles 6:6. How would God allow that? Because they turned their backs on God. They left God. God did not leave them. They left God. And so he allowed, it was a door that's open. And I'm just wondering today, what doors may you or I be opening? A door wide open for Satan to come and attack him. Took him out. Okay, 100 years later, God is so good. He's like, I'm giving you another chance. You got to hear my voice. You got to come to me. They didn't listen. They didn't listen. And so now Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon, comes and is going to attack the southern kingdom. Israel is going to be wiped out. 597 BC, Ezekiel, a prophet, is taken from there, from Jerusalem, all the way to Babylon, a good 800 miles. Walking, this ain't no, you know, you ain't got no rail, you ain't got no Mercedes Benz, you got to get your donkey, let's go. And so they're on their way, and it takes him 5 years, y'all, 5 years for him to be called by God to be a prophet. See, sometimes when you're called to do God's work, you got to be benched, you got to settle down. You know, it says in 1 Timothy 3:6, don't put a novice up there and let him or her do the God's work, because they might get arrogant. Man, people in 10 years, 15 years are getting arrogant. What are we talking about? So God says, settle down. I need you to humble yourself. And so he was humbled during that time, 5 years. And then 5 years later after that, Nebuchadnezzar completely wiped out Jerusalem. I mean, you could read it in Jeremiah chapter 52, verse 13, where the temple was burnt down. God's name is there, but he allowed it. Opened the door to Satan. Satan came in. And then in Jeremiah 52, 14, the walls were burnt down. And in Jeremiah 52, 27, the people were burnt down and they were all exiled out of Jerusalem. This is what we're talking about. Ezekiel is in Babylon, loved ones. He's in a strange land. It's a strange language. It's a strange time. It's a strained time. It's a hurtful time. It's a painful time. It's time for death. It is not a good time where we talk about here. The hand of the Lord was upon me. I love that. If you're going to do anything, Pastor Nicole, Pastor Randy, Pastor Eric Smith, when they take a group and they go to Africa, they can go by themselves and they can be pretty and they can do right, but the hand of the Lord is upon them. Otherwise, they cannot do what they do. When we open up heart arteries, we can go look back and go, well, yes, 17 years worth of education and all this and that, and my experience, and I'm all that and I'm bad and blah, blah, blah. But the hand of the Lord, if it is not upon me, I am nothing, zero. So the hand of the Lord was upon Ezekiel. I love that, because he says that in chapter 1, verse 3. The hand of the Lord was upon me. Ezra says that years later in chapter 7, verse 8. Ezra says, the hand of the Lord was upon me. What was he doing? He was proclaiming the word of God to Israel. In 400 BC, 450 BC, the hand of the Lord. Nehemiah said that. How you build walls? How you going to build what you're going to build? Nehemiah is smart. He's intelligent. He's got an IQ of 250. What? How he gonna do this? He says it in chapter 2, the hand of the Lord was upon me. Loved one, I don't know where you're going in life, but if you're going without the hand of the Lord, you're going in the wrong direction and you're going in the wrong path. Whatever you do, whatever you say, whatever you think, say, Lord God, if your hand is not on me, I don't want to go. May your hand be upon me. And in Isaiah 40, 11, God, Jesus Christ, is the good shepherd who takes you in his hands and arms and holds you close to his bosom. The hand of the Lord picks you. The hand of the Lord carries you. The hand of the Lord is what takes you and puts you close to his heart. It's the hand of the Lord that was upon Ezekiel. And the Lord, man, which Lord are we talking about here? There are many gods in this world, from politics to NFL to NBA. What Lord are we talking about? I used to have posters in my room and I used to worship these players. And today I'm like, I ain't worshiping you, bro. You just made out of dust, bro. That's all you are. You make millions by just like three-pointers. I ain't mad at you. That's what you do. But I'm not gonna worship you. I used to worship this guy who's on television, and he is an amazing evangelist. He's on Daystar. He's on TBN. He's on TCT. He's on everywhere. I'm like, that's my hero. It's my hero. Last year, I went to his conference, and I sat right in front. And I'm like, that's my hero. And I sat in front, and then I met him, and he acted like I was a fly on the wall. He like, yeah, he looking at somebody else and while he's talking to me. And, you know, after that, I'm like, boy, you ain't my hero. My Jesus is my hero. Let's go. I stopped. I'm done. I'm done following people. I'm done following what you say. Oh, get a little psychology. Get a little philosophy. I'm done with y'all. I'm going with Jesus Christ, y'all. That's my Lord. Who is that? This Lord? You know, in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12, he holds the waters of the world in the palms of his hands. You try that, baby. You can't even get it. And it all trickles down where you try that. Go to the Atlantic, go to the Pacific, go wherever you want to go. Go to the Gulf Stream, wherever you want to go. He holds it in the palm of his hands. That's how good he is. He's on in chapter 40, verse 22 of Isaiah. He's seated on the circle of the world. And you know, right there, I'm just sorry to say science lags behind. They'd be like, is the world round or is it square? And I'm like, bro, he already told you. Isaiah 40:22, he sits on the circle of the earth, and all the peoples of the world are like grasshoppers. Yeah. You a grasshopper. I'm a grasshopper. That's crazy. But he loves his little grasshoppers, and he calls us sheep. See, we escalate. We go up higher as we go along. Praise the Lord. Oh, my goodness. So this is God in 40:15. He says the whole nations, all the kings, all the horses, all their chariots, everything they got, all the gold, they're like a drop of water in a bucket. When I see that, I just want to like, whoa. I just want to get on my knees and say Revelation 4:8, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's the Lord I'm talking about. We know we're talking about Ezekiel the prophet. We know that the hands of God is upon him. We now know who the Lord is. He was upon me and carried me in the spirit. Now, what in the world does that mean, y'all? I mean, like, he got a little chariot and came. What does that mean? Well, if you go to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3, you see that Isaiah was taken up into the spirit from earth to heaven, the third heavens. He was taken up, and he saw the Lord, and he's like, whoa, I'm not as bad as I thought I was. And I mean bad as in good. I'm not all that. I'm sitting in front of a throne of God, and he is holy. And he saw the cherubim saying, holy, holy, holy. You go all the way from there to Revelation chapter 4, verse 8, where the four beasts are in front of God saying, holy, holy, holy. And by the way, Revelation chapter 4 and 5, that's the future. It hasn't yet occurred. You'll see that in my Revelation books, loved one. I got a lot of books today that will help you in life. If you're missing joy, because you're sad, sad, sad. If you're missing all that, those books are so biblical. It will build you up. So the Rev books are all about Revelation. And then I'm a Shayan. I wasn't here. Then I got two books that got the word butt in it. Y'all like that? This one said, I got a big butt. And the butt is B-U-T and then another T. So it's the physical It's the physical, then the psychological, then the spiritual, and then the practical way of living life, how to be healthy. All right. And then this book, this is the newest book. It's hot off the press. This is now the second publication, because the first publication, it was missing 10 pages, y'all. I about freaked out. And then I said, but God, he with me, but God. So your life might be sad. It might be hard. It might be painful. You always got to come back to, but God, he's in control. Yeah, I see the Red Sea, but yeah, my God, he gonna carry me. I got this. He's got me. And so, loved ones, you'll enjoy these books. Where was I before I did that crazy? Ezekiel, thank you. Get back to Ezekiel. Yeah, and you know, Pastor Nicole was talking about this at the beginning. A couple of years ago, I was invited to be on Daystar, and they said, hey, man, you need to have your own show. And I'm like, bro, it's just like $500,000 a year, which is ridiculous, right? You thought it was free to get. And people, like, I get on Daystar now, and they're like, they're paying you? I'm like, no, I'm paying them. Yeah, are you kidding me? So it was crazy, and I thought, no, I see the Red Sea, I see the mountains, I see Pharaoh, I see the chariots, I can't go. And God's like, are you going to allow the ducks to line up and the Red Sea to open before you go, or are you just going to step your foot in it and let it open? I had to step my foot in, and it was 2 months ago where I said, Lord, the finances are not coming in. I'm ready to stop. I'm not here for myself. I want to lift up. I don't know about you, loved ones, but here's the secret to life. Lift him up, and he will draw all men to him. It has nothing to do with you and me. Lift him up, him, Jesus, and he will draw all men to him, not me, not you, him. And that's the secret of life. And I said, I can't do this. I got on my face. And then a grandma from California, nutty, nutty California, sent a huge check going, I think you're crazy, and I like you, and I want to support you. And I'm like, yeah, I am crazy. And it's a good thing to be crazy like that. Okay, so God is good, but God. If it weren't for God, I'm a mess. I'm nothing. I'm zero. He's so beautiful. So the Spirit of God carries Ezekiel. If you go to Ezekiel chapter 8, loved ones, you'll see how the Spirit takes him from Babylon all the way to Jerusalem, and he goes inside the temple before it's burnt down, and he sees all kinds of animals on the walls creeping and going, ah! And he sees people worshiping idols, and he goes, this is my temple. This is what's happened to my name. They have desecrated me. And loved ones, you and I today, our number one goal is to honor God and to serve him with all our hearts and souls, and to follow him and fall in love with him and worship him and bring honor to him. I wonder if we go into my spirit and into your spirit, what are you seeing? And I sense there is so much unforgiveness and bitterness that's breaking your soul. And I'm going to call it out today, loved ones. Not me. The Spirit of the Lord showed me in the temple. I'm not talking about this beautiful church. I'm talking about individuals that make up the church. It's time to say, I'm done. I'm done. I'm done with myself. I'm done with my past. I'm done with my anger. It's time to come to the Lord today. And so the Spirit carries him, and he sees all how God's name is being desecrated, and he can't handle it. The Spirit of the Lord carried him. And he set me down in the midst of the valley, which is full of bones. And, you know, I'm sorry that I'm trying to break this one verse down, but this is how we're supposed to read the Bible, because God is saying something new to you today, something you and I haven't heard today. Pay attention, loved one, because this is for you. In the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Now, what it said, it didn't say a valley. All this time I said, you read all the commentaries, and they say they don't know what valley it is. Well, I'm going to break it, and I'm going to say, I think I know what it is. I may be wrong. You read the Bible. Don't trust me. Trust the Bible. There are two big valleys in Israel. I was born there, by the way, in an Armenian community. I was born on the Mount of Olives, y'all. That's insanity. Yeah. And people are like, oh, I'm sorry. Was that an accident? No, baby, that was planned. It was after the Armenian massacre, my great grandparents moved. It was the diaspora. Some went to Beirut, Lebanon. Some went to Israel. And so there's a huge Armenian community there. And I was born there. And y'all won't believe this. I've told y'all before. But I was brought up. My address, y'all want to know my address? It was called the Via Della Rosa. That's my street. I did not know how good that was until I moved to Chattanooga, Tennessee. And now y'all know why I'm a gangster like that. Yeah. My black brother said, oh, bro, you ain't got enough move. Come here, bro. They were like, here, I'll tell you how to walk. I'll tell you how to talk. And this is real. I'm not trying to act nothing. And people are like, you're trying to act. This is me. I told you I was crazy. And so, you know, the people in Chattanooga, they touch you. And they be like, you from the Holy Land? You lived on the Via Della Rosa? I'm like, yeah. I did not know. It just doesn't hit you, right? My dad took us to Bethlehem and all this. This is where Jesus was born. This is where he walked. I walked on the... We lived between the 5th and 6th station where Jesus fell with the cross. The balcony we had is on everywhere on World Encyclopedia's internet. It's insane. God has a sense of humor. Sense of humor bringing me back from there to Chattanooga and then even crazier to California, y'all. All the crazy peoples. That's where I live with Gavin Newsom. God's got to shine his light somehow. Lord have mercy, I'm going to get in trouble. Okay, where was I? At the valley. We're in the valley. Okay, the valley, Israel. Go for the north and go to the south, yeah? On the north, you have a valley called Jezreel, and it's like G-E-Z-R-E-E-L, Jezreel, and that's where Armageddon will occur. The War of Armageddon, Revelation 16:16. That's a huge valley. A lot of battles were fought there. Deborah, Judges chapter 4. She and Barak and they together went after Sisera, the commander of the Canaanites, beat him. That was there. Gideon, the wimp, who was limp, and he's called a warrior. You see how God sees you? You see how God sees you? You be like, I'm ugly, I'm terrible, I'm this, I'm that, I hate myself, on and on and on. I think there's a lot of, people who hit themselves and like, I got to get better. I've got to do this for the Lord. You ain't got to do nothing. He did it for you. He died on the cross for you. He bled on the cross for you. You don't have to do something good in order to get his attention. He did good. He's the only one good. And if you and I going to do good, how much good are you going to do? You can't do enough good. He is good. He did good. He did good for you. And so you're bought by the blood of the Lamb if you have him in your heart, loved ones. That's the most important thing. The second thing, now that he did good, we do good in honor of him. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are his workmanship. We live to work for him and serve him. I did not come to be served. 10:45 Mark. I came to serve. You want to know why you live? You're here to serve. Yeah. Well, how about me? They looked at me funny. Shut up and serve. Just shut up. I'm tired of Christian acting like ninnies and acting like the world. Shut up and serve. I did not come to be served. A Christian should not be high maintenance. I want this and that, want that. Shut up. I'm tired of it. Where were we? We're in the valleys. Oh my goodness. Still in the valley, bro. We're in verse 1. We're going to be here all day long. I hope y'all ate a good breakfast. Because lunch is late. We're in the valley, up on top. Yeah, that's where Deborah fought. That's where Gideon fights. A wimp who's limp. And God says, you're a warrior. That's how God sees you. Amen. You're like, no, you don't know what I did. No, you don't know what God did for you. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. But you, and I did this, and I have ladies that come and say, they're 75 years old, 80. When I was 16, 17, I had an abortion. I can't get it out of my mind. It's haunted me all my life, and I feel condemned. I feel sick. I feel ill. And you know something? They are ill physically. Sure. They've had many heart attacks. I put many stents in their hearts. They have congestive heart failure. You see what condemnation does? And I say, let's go to the cross. Let's just go to the cross. Get on your knees and look up and watch the blood pour all over you. The blood of the Lamb. And watch that abortion just be cleansed off of you. And it has nothing to do with you. It is gone because you are forgiven and you want to be forgiven. And watch that condemnation come off of you. And all of a sudden, for the first time in 60, 70 years, they say, Dr. Sam, I found joy in my heart. Oh, that's awesome. That's the power of God. There is no cardiologist, no doctor, no psychologist, no psychiatrist, no philosopher that can do what my Jesus can do. Read 1,000 books if you want to. Read 10,000 if you want to. The blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood of the Lamb does it all. And so that's how Jesus saw him, mighty warrior. And so he told him how to fight. He did fight. Okay, then, I mean, how about in 1918, General Allenby from England, he beat down the Ottoman Empire, the same Ottoman Empire who in 1915 massacred 1.5 million out of 3 million of my Armenian people. The same Ottoman Empire, he beat them, where? At Megiddo. Oh, and where is this war of Armageddon going to happen, and when is it? Well, the rapture is next. Y'all ready for the rapture? Oh, yeah. Just because you came to church and sat at the same pew for 50 years, and that's why they call it pew, 50 years, just because, don't make you go to heaven, just letting you know. Just because you got a tie on or pretty little shoes, don't make you go to heaven. Just because you or I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and there are many preachers today who are not preaching the gospel of the Lamb, they won't say the word Jesus, there is no blood, there is no mention of heaven, there is no, oh yeah, there's a lot of heaven. Oh, we're all good, we're all going. You lie, you lie, you lie. There's hell. Just because of that, doesn't mean you or I are going to heaven. Only the blood of Jesus Christ, who was shed on Calvary's tree to set you and me free. That's the only way to get to heaven, and that's the only way to go up in the rapture. But if you decide to stay and you decide to say, nah, that ain't for me, okay, bro, 7 years of ugly about to hit you in the face. 7 years, it's going to be tribulation. It's not going to be like, oh, I can't get this. You can't get nothing. I don't care where you go. It's going to be ugly. You're going to get cuts. You're going to see fire come from heaven. You're going to see blood in the faucets. It's just going to be insane. There's going to be real global warming. 7 years. And I don't even know how people survive, but 50% of the world's population, that means about 5 billion people are going to die during that time. And then God is so good, by the way. He's going to allow his prophets to speak, and people are going to come to him. They're like, oh, that crazy cardiologist was saying that, and I didn't believe him, and now it's for real. Yeah, God is going to allow people to come to Christ at that time, but that's not a good time to come. No. Okay, so then 7 years, then the second coming of Christ comes. See, the rapture is next. 7 years of tribulation, and then comes the second coming of Jesus. And then the war of Armageddon, where it goes? In the Valley of Jezreel. It starts there. It goes all the way to Jordan, 200 miles. Okay, so that's where that valley is. I don't think it's that valley, or it may be. So then we have the Valley of Jehoshaphat. That's the second valley. That's where the Kidron River is, right outside the walls of Jerusalem in the south. That's where Jesus walked outside the walls, through the Kidron Valley, to go to the Mount of Olives to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane before he was crucified. That's the Kidron Valley. So there are two valleys, Valley of Jehoshaphat, the Valley of Decision. You've heard of that? Joel chapter 3, Yeah, the valley of decision, and many, 3:12 I think it is, many pastors think that's the valley of decision where you make a decision. No, it ain't up to you to make that decision. That decision is made by Christ. The valley of decision is right after the war of Armageddon, before we step into the millennium. There is Matthew 25 where you have the sheep and goat, the judgment. And those who survive that time will either be a sheep or a goat, not you or I who are up. We already raptured. We already have our glorified bodies. We can never sin. But these people who survived all this, they'll be either sheep or goats. That's the valley of decision. The decision is made by Christ. Who is the sheep? Who's the goats? Ain't that a trip? Mm-hmm. So you don't want to be caught up there, loved one. So two valleys. I actually think it's the valley of Jezreel. That because it said the valley, I may be wrong, where he's going to see something right here. In verse 2, he sees, but in verse 1, it was full of bones. And it caused me to pass, in verse 2, by them about, and behold, there were very many, we know there are a lot, in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. The bones are dry, y'all. I know this is going to blow your mind because it blew my mind. Because I'm a cardiologist, I don't think like this, but bones, did you know, as you sit there today, right now, in the next 24 hours, your bone marrow, shins here, are going to make 500 billion cells within 24 hours. 500 billion cells. 200 billion being red blood cells, which carry oxygen to your brain and your heart and your arms and your legs so you can walk and move and think and speak. 200 billion with a B, white blood cells, so you can fight infections that come at you, sinuses and all that. And I rebuke infections in the name of Jesus that have been haunting you, that have been tearing you down, that have made you sick. Get out, demonic forces of infirmity, in the name of Jesus. And then 100 billion platelets, which help you clot. If your spouse cuts you and you're bleeding, you're like, why did you do that? And you'd be like, Oh, the platelets are coming into effect. Good. Thank you, Lord, for the platelets. I don't know about the spouse, but thank you for the platelets. And so the platelets help you clot so you don't bleed to death. Y'all feel me? But ain't that correct? Please help me. Somebody help me. 500 billion cells a day, 24 hours? You got to be kidding me. That's how good God is. And you telling me I came from amoeba? You crazy. You just mad. I didn't come from no monkey, no amoeba, neither did you. Yeah. And the reason why we have a problem, why we have in the schools, is because these kids are being taught that they came from an amoeba and a monkey, and they're acting like it. Yeah. We need Jesus. Yeah. Never mind psychology. Never mind philosophy. Never mind cardiology. I need Jesus in the house. It's all I need. America, come to Jesus. We are going to be part of the revival. We are. It's going to sweep through Ohio. It's going to go all the way in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's get ready. Remember, 82% of Christ's followers are not in the Bible. You know what they are? Cachectic. Y'all know what that word means? In my medicine world, if a patient is cachectic, it's a bad thing. They'd be like all shrunken. They don't have no bones on them. They got bones. They just got no muscles on them. They haven't been eating. They've been plagued with cancer. They're going down. Matter of days. Christ followers, cachectic. And I don't mean the body. I'm not talking physical. I'm talking spiritual. Don't you think it's time for the cardiologist of cardiologists, Jesus Christ, to come and put some pads on your front chest, back chest, shock you? Don't you think? But you don't know my... Shut up. Get on your knees. Get on your face. Let's go in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm tired of wimpy Christians. Let's go. Let's get bold and let's get into Christ. They were very dry. You know what that means? You ain't got 500 billion cells producing hair, peoples. You got zero. is so important to bones. I mean, you've got aplastic anemia where you don't make cells. You got a myeloplastic anemia where you make bad cells. And leukemia, it's all in the blood. The life of the creature is in the blood. That's why our Jesus is so precious, because it's his blood that cleanses us from all impurities. And so they're not making any cells. They're dead. They're just dead. And he said to me, God said to him, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, Lord, you know. Ooh, that's a good answer. That's a good answer. It's like, well, let me think about it. No, shut up. You can't think. Lord, you know. It's like John, who was asked a question, who are these? In chapter 7 of Revelation, there were the people that came out of the tribulation who denied Christ at first, but then after the rapture thought, oh, this is real. And so they really came to Christ. They got their head chopped for it, and they came up to heaven, and the elder says, who are they? And John's like, I don't, you know. You know, that's a good thing to be. That's a good place to be. You know, ChatGPT doesn't have all the answers. Yeah? Oh, what do I do about this situation? ChatGPT, I got this internet. How about God? How about the creator of science? How about the creator? Ask him. Say, Father, I don't know. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. King Jehoshaphat said that. I love that. I don't know what to do, but. That, there goes that word, but. But God. But my eyes are on you. And so that's a very good, that's a good word to have. Good word. But my situation sucks. I'm empty. I'm running on dry. My bones are dry. I don't know what to do. But God, you know, you help me. I'm coming to you. It's a great place in Nehemiah chapter 4. Y'all remember they were trying to build the wall, right? That was all torn by King Nebuchadnezzar. Nehemiah comes and he's building the wall. And you know, when you're trying to build something, Pastors Randy and Nicole, there's always a Sanballat. Pastor Eric, there's always a Sanballat.
That's right.
An oppressor, a one who's like, you can't do that. This is not going to happen. I'm going to stop you. Here's your obstacle. You're not going to make it. What do you think God's call was on you? And you, loved ones, what do you think God called you, Pastor Rick? Why do you think you can do this? How come you think you, loved ones, you who are not preachers or pastors, all the time, bam, bam, bam. And Sanballat comes at you and says, from the rubble, bro. From the rubble, the dust, you gonna put these stones up and make a wall? Spit on him, get on his high horse and leave. Yeah, from the rubble. Nehemiah built the walls. Why? Because the hands of the Lord was upon him.
Yeah.
Don't go without the hand of the Lord alone. You'll blow up. Your generator will blow up. And ain't no mechanic that can fix you. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. You know, he says, from the rubble. Yeah. And again, he said to me, prophesy. I love this. Talk. First admit the problem. I go places and people say, well, I don't have this cancer. I'm like, yes, you do. You were diagnosed with it. And they're like, no, I don't. God's going to heal me. I'm like, I know he's going to heal you. He's healed you already in the name of Jesus Christ. But you got to admit the truth. You got to say, I have cancer. But God is, he's already saved me, healed me. But God, it's an important word to have. And again, he said to me, prophesy. So not only do we admit reality, but now we're going to speak to our situation. And he said, prophesy upon these bones and say to them, oh, you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. So important. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Yes? It's the only way. You're like, why do I have to go to church? Because you want to hear and your faith to increase. And talk to the situation. Say, my God has already blessed me. My God has already healed me. My God has already saved me out of this situation. Oh, I know it looks wrong. I know the chains are on me, but get off me in the name of Jesus. Talk to it. In Proverbs, we read that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will enjoy of its fruit. So if you love life, you speak life. And if you love death, you speak death. Oh, it's no good. I'm not going to make it. I'm stupid. I can't believe I did that. Okay, keep on talking like that because Satan loves that. But go on the other side and say, my situation is so rotten. I can't stand it anymore. I can't even stand myself. I can't even forgive myself. But God is with me and he's going to help me. There's a transition. There's the transition to go from ugly to beauty, from ashes to a crown of beauty, from mourning to an oil of joy. There's the transition. Amen. To speak. How did Jesus do it? In Matthew chapter 4. And Satan comes up to him. He's always there, right? It's not like when you win something and you're like, I have victory in Jesus. And he leaves. Oh, I leave her alone. They got victory. No, he's after you over and over again. He's like, yeah, you hungry. Yeah. You see the rocks there? Yeah. Can't you turn them into like bread? Because you are hungry. It's like Cracker Barrel biscuits, which by the way are hard as a rock. I say that I did because there was a Cracker Barrel right in front of the hotel. Never mind. I told you I was crazy. Okay, so the rock, and Jesus said, it is written. You take it to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. It is written, man does not live by bread alone, but every word, did you hear that word? Every word that comes out of the mouth of the Lord, every word is so important that God speaks to you. He's speaking to you right now. He's showing you where you are in the valley of dry bones. He's going to get you out in the name of Jesus. This is your time. This is your place. And Satan, that's not it. So one victory doesn't do nothing. Satan comes at you again and again. That's why 82% of Christ's followers are cachectic. That's why they're depressed. That's why they're falling. Why? Because they're not in the Word. Help me. They're not in the Word. You're like, I ain't got time. You can't afford not to have that time. You can't afford it. My efficiency falls. I get agitated easy when I'm not in the Word. But if I'm in the Word, God reminds me, be still. I see the Red Sea. I've already opened it for you. Just walk. Instead of the Red Sea, don't you see the Red Sea? That's why it's important to walk with God. So Satan takes him up to the temple and said, go ahead, jump. And Jesus goes back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16, and said, you shall not tempt the Lord God. But it is written, he speaks. He's speaking to his problem. He's speaking to the temptation. He's speaking it. And what is he speaking? ChatGPT told me. No, he's speaking the word of God. And then Satan takes him to a mountain and said, look, This is mine, baby. It's all mine. Temporarily, it is given to him. And boy, is he doing a mess with prisons and hatred and jealousy. And I'm talking about the church. See what he's doing? Satan working mightily because we got cachectic Christians. Oh, I know this is hard words, but we ain't here to like, everybody's going to heaven. No, we're not. I'm doing this out of love. I'm doing this. I'm listening to what I'm speaking because I have to change now. And loved ones, so do you. Yes. And so he's like, it's mine, babe. Do you want it? Yeah. You just got to bow. I give it to you. What you say? Here's some drugs, teenagers. It's cool. You're a little sad. You want to be jumping, bumping. Just take it. Not knowing that it's laced with fentanyl and you're going to die in the next 5 minutes. Help me, somebody. This is what alcohol. Not knowing that 20, 30 years later, you'll be in a hospital bed where I'm seeing you and you're spitting out blood because your liver is cirrhosed. Because that one drink got you too many drinks to become an alcoholic. Oh, Satan. He won't stop. He uses the same tactic. Jesus goes back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13. And he tells him, it is written, you should worship the Lord God alone. And so it is written. This is what you and I have to start thinking. We have to speak to our problems. We have to tell Satan, get out of my face. You don't belong in my head. You're under my feet. Shut up. You have no victory over me. And Jesus said, God says in 5:37:5 of Ezekiel, thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into them, and you shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you. That's like tendons and ligaments. Ligaments connect bone to bone. Tendons connect bone to muscle. I will place sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and you will with new skin, and breathe into you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. That word know is throughout the whole Bible. You think Pharaoh knew who God was after the plagues? You shall know in chapter 7 of Exodus. If you keep on reading Ezekiel chapter 38, 39, it's the Gog and Magog war. And Turkey, Iran, and Russia. See, you know the future if you read the Bible. Turkey, Russia, Iran. The Iran that's now with the IRGC and the war that you're seeing and that America is involved in. Okay, those three countries, along with Somalia and other nations, according to Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, are going to come and jump all over Israel. When? See, got to know the Bible. When? When all is safe in Israel. Right now, all is not safe in Israel. When will it be safe? Daniel 9:27, when the contract is signed by the Antichrist. When will he sign the contract? After the rapture. And when the tribulation starts with the first white horse. Revelation 6:2. First white horse is the Antichrist, and he comes in peace. And he's the one that signs the contract between Israel and Arab nations. And then Israel is safe for the first time. And then the Gog and Magog war in Ezekiel 38, 39 occur. You see that? And so this Bible tells us in 38 and 39 that Russia, Iran, and Turkey will know that I am God. How? He's going to destroy, according to 39:2 of Ezekiel, 5/6 of Russia, Turkey, and Iran. There are only going to be 1/6 left at the beginning of the tribulation. And so they will know. One world government, you will know. Those who try to kill babies and kill babies in America and the world, you will know. You who mistreat children, you will know. Who God is, you will know. Every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. And I prophesied. So he listens in verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied, and there was a noise, and behold, there was shaking, and the bones came together, bone to bone. This is crazy. I don't do knees, but I can just imagine. The anterior cruciate ligament and the posterior cruciate ligament coming together, and the medial collateral ligament and the lateral collateral ligament coming together, and the meniscus in between the femur and the tibia and the fibula coming together. Yeah, all these bones coming together. You imagine the dry bones, the dead bones, and you're like, my situation is so ugly. Want to transition to, but my God can put these bones together for me. It just blows my mind of how good he is. It reminds me of Acts chapter 2, where the Holy Spirit fell on Peter, who was scared of a maiden, a little maiden, scared the living daylights out of him, saying, you were with Christ. He's like, nah, I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, later. And then you, no. And then you, and then he curses and screams and yells, no. That Peter met the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. And all of a sudden, he turns around. He preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. 3,000 come because the Holy Spirit is in him. And he looks at the Jewish leaders and he says, you crucified the Lord. And he looks at a crippled man who is 40 years old and beyond in chapter 3 at the Gate of Beautiful in the book of Acts. And he's like, bruh, I don't got no. The man's like, alms, help me. He can't work. They don't have handicap stickers those days. Handicap parking spaces those days. They don't have the social security helping out, which is in trouble. But anyway, so they help. And Peter's like, bro, I ain't got no gold on me. I ain't got no silver. But what I do got, in the name of Jesus, get up, let's go walk. I mean, those bones that were, the muscles that were atrophied, they weren't even there. The tendons that were fused, the bones that were fused, they all came to life. But God, taking you from one place to the other, he can do it. There are trials, there are tribulations, there are hardships, there are things that you're like, this wasn't on the calendar. I didn't mean for this to happen. How did this happen in my life? Why am I going through this crisis? But God is going to take you from bones that are atrophied to a strong, mighty warrior of the Lord. Amen. This is insane to me. It's insane that these bones, I can just imagine them coming together. Ezekiel probably having a trip. The brother going to need some Valium in a minute. And in verse 8, and when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. I mean, even the heart. How can you have the left atria and the right atria come together, and the left and right ventricle come together, and the aorta that has the blood going to the head, arms, and legs? How? God is going to take the wilderness out of your life, and it's going to make it beautiful. But remember, Ezekiel was benched. Remember, things may take time. And I believe part of the process is to humble us and to say, God, I can't, but you can. In my weakness, you are strong. I trust in you. Then he said to me, prophesy again. So one time didn't do it. Yeah, it looked pretty. It's got all the bones. It's got all the muscles. It's got all the heart. Everything's there, but it don't move. He said, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind in verse 9, that thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds of breath and breathe on them that they may live. And the number four is so important. I'll just go from Genesis to Revelation real quick for you. The four is important because it's universalism. It's like you got north, south, east, west. You got spring, summer, autumn, winter. Four is universalism in the Bible. You've got the four rivers in the Old Testament, right? In chapter 2 of Genesis. What are they? Tigris River, Euphrates River, Gihon, Pishon. You got those four rivers in the Garden of Eden. And then in Revelation chapter 4, you got the four beasts. It's complete. You got the lion, a beast that looks like a lion, a beast that looks like an ox, a beast that looks like an eagle, and a beast that looks like a human. That's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Jesus Christ being the lion as the king, and then Mark being an ox, Jesus Christ being the humble servant, and then you got Luke, he is like a human because he's a servant, and then you've got the eagle, God in where is it, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, he's God. It all ties together, loved ones. It's the from the four winds of the earth to come together, and all of a sudden it comes, and he said, they should breathe on them and they shall live. And so I prophesied. He obeys again in verse 10. You can prophesy. You can speak into your situation. It's not mind over matter. It's God's word over your life. That's what it is. I prophesied and he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and they stood up on their feet, and they became a great exceeding army. So an army, dry bones became an army. And as you read on, this story is about Israel, but it's more than that. It's about you and me too, loved ones. It's like these dry bones in verse 11, they're the house of Israel, and they have no hope. They've lost hope. And they think that I cast them out. In verse 12, prophesy. Let their graves open up. Let them come to life. Let Israel come to life. And boy, did it. May 14th, 1948, became a nation again. Yep. But this is not the whole story. If you go from chapter 37, 14 to 21, you'll see how Jesus and God will unite Ephraim, the northern part, and Judah, the southern part, together. And yes, they're Israel today, but they're not what they need to be. And yes, they are God's people, but they don't follow God. Not all of them, the majority of them don't. It's like my Armenian people, we are the first nation to be Christianity as a whole, to accept Christianity as a whole nation. The first nation in the whole world, 300 AD, Armenia, said, yes, we'll accept Christianity as a whole nation. You imagine that? My people are quote-unquote Christians, Armenians, but they don't follow Christ. Does that make sense, loved one? So it don't matter if you're God's people, you got to follow God. But God has not forgotten them, nor will he forget them, okay? The church does not replace Israel. And so he opens up the graves, and then he'll make Israel one in the millennium. Rapture, tribulation, 7 years. Second coming, Armageddon, sheep and goat judgment, millennium. Who gets to go? You and I. You and I get to go. And depending on Ephesians 2:10, how much work you did and how much service you did for the Lord, I don't know if you've ever been in California, you might get Compton. That's gangsta city. Or you might get Maui. So you got to decide what you want. Huh? Yeah, it's going to matter. It's going to matter in eternity. It really, really is. It blows my mind how Eric Smith and Pastors Nicole and Randy do the work. You know, they bring the globe here. And this, the globe here, this is not a show. This is what they live. This is who they are. This is what they do. They preach the gospel worldwide. It's so beautiful. That's what we're made to do. We're here to serve people. We're here to help people. We're here to give to people. And so in the millennium, they're going to become one. Okay, that's to 21. And from 22 to 28, you know this hasn't happened because God is going to take out the idols in verse 23 in Israel. He's going to take them out. They're only going to worship one God. And let me just say real quickly here, and in verse 24, and David, my servant, shall be king over them. And David shall be their prince forever in verse 25. And for the longest time, I thought this was King David coming back to life. But my personal belief, and I may be wrong, and you guys have to study the Bible for yourselves. My personal belief is that this is the greater David, Jesus Christ. Because David the king cannot be the prince forever. Jesus is the prince forever. Daniel chapter 7, his dominion lasts forever and ever. Glory and honor and praise are not to King David. Glory and honor and praise who was and is to come is to Jesus Christ in chapter 4 and 5 of the book of Revelation. So that's why I believe. And even in Luke chapter 1, Luke the doctor. Luke chapter 1. I forget where it was. Y'all going to have to help me out and find it for me. But I think it's 33. Luke chapter 1, 32, 33, where it talks about Jesus and how he will reign forever and ever. It's not talking about David. I think this is the greater David, Jesus Christ, who will reign. And he shall be with them and be their God in verse 27. That's the same as Revelation 21, 3, where God, Jesus Christ, will be with us. Oh, in chapter 22, verse 4 of Revelation, we will see God's face. Yeah. Moses, you can see my behind right here back, but you can't see my face. You'll die. Yeah. Finally, we're going to get to see, oh, can you imagine the beauty? Can you imagine the holiness? Can you imagine the love that we've never seen or felt, the forgiveness, the joy in my soul? Can you imagine seeing him face to face and saying, I forgot the past. I don't need the past. I'm with God and I see his face. Can you imagine? Amen. It's going to be so good. That's why today we can be like Paul, all the things that I'm going through, these light trials. And you're like, Paul doesn't know what he's talking about. He don't know my problems. Really, bro? Okay. So Paul, he's beaten 5 times, 40 minus one in his back. 5 times, 5 different times. He's shipwrecked. He's beaten to death once, and he comes back to life, I believe. He's beaten on the feet three times, and when they beat you, it's not like, like that, how that hurt. No, they broke his bones in the feet. He's been in prison. He's been hungry. He's been shipwrecked. He don't have air condition. He doesn't get first class seats on a plane. Nothing wrong with that. But what I'm trying to say, he calls it light. And so it's an attitude. It's a whole person saying, I see it. I see ugly. I see it chain me, trying to take me down. But my God is going to get me through. I see the Red Sea. I'm like, should I go? Should I? Well, I see it. I'm not stupid. But my God, let's go. Let's just go. If I drown, I drown. If I go, I go. Let's go. Amen. That's how we roll. That's what God wants out of you, loved ones. As the Holy Spirit falls on you today, and he's here. Oh, he's here. One day, he's going to take those who have died, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 51 through 58, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Those who have died before us, who are in Christ, like our beautiful pastor who started this church, they will rise up with their new bodies, glorified. Going to be young and beautiful. Going to eat what you want. And ain't no cardiologist going to talk to you about your waistline. Ooh, it's going to be good, good, good. There ain't going to be no statin drugs like Crestor or Atorvastatin. Nothing like that. It's going to be so good. So he's going to raise them from the dead. We who are here alive, we're going to go up. And we're going to be changed. By the way, your spirit right now is already changed. If you have Christ, your spirit is pure. It's glorified. You are one-third glorified. Do you know that? One-third. Two-thirds of you, me, we messed up. Body, no good. Mind, soul, no good. But God, yeah, he's going to change all that, okay? So just like these bones came out of the grave, we too will come out of the grave. We too will change. We too will be glorified. But today is what we got. So we speak, we prophesy, and we trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Notice it's all about the heart. You imagine he said, trust the Lord with all your kidney? That'd be messed up. Trust the Lord with all your colon? That's really messed up. I'm sorry to all my GI people. It's all about the heart. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. That means the Red Sea. That means the unforgiveness and the bitterness that's plaguing the church today. That's actually hurting your body. It's actually causing hypertension, diabetes. My mama and daddy had it. Shut up.
But don't you believe in family history?
I do. But this is your fault. You did this. You don't have to eat five Big Macs at one time. You can stop at one. I'm going off in tangents. Help me, Lord. Help me. Holy Spirit, help me. Help me. It is time today, loved ones. I'm going to call you out. And I want your life to change today, now, forever. I want you to go from Peter here. I don't know him. To hear, in the name of Jesus, rise. Yeah. Who did that? The Holy Ghost. What happened? But God. How did it work? He spoke. We're going to speak to our situation and say, I see it. It's ugly. It's dry. But my God, I'm going to prophesy. Not, I can do this, and ChatGPT said, no, my God is with me. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. And by the way, he will never fail you and me. Huh? Yes, yes. It's the God that's in Romans that says, I think it's 15, 13, yeah, that he is the God of hope. And he gives us all joy and peace in believing so that we may be abounding in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joy and peace, do you have it? Do you have it? Seriously, no, I'm serious. Is it yours? Or is it just a made-up play? And are you abounding in hope? Or are you abounding in bitterness, unforgiveness, sadness, depression, and uncertainty? Which one are you? Today I'm going to give a call. Number one call, if I can get, please ask the beautiful musicians. By the way, the singers and the musicians here are so beautiful. I just fell on my knees thinking, this is part of heaven. I'm loving this. It is so beautiful, you guys. If I could have some background music, please. And I know you guys need to go. This is about your life. This is about your, not only future today, but tomorrow, but eternity. This is important. Loved ones, don't run out. This is about you and God meeting each other and look at him face to face and going, you know what? I actually think I missed the mark. I actually think I might be in the 82%. And that doesn't mean you lost your salvation or condemnation comes and I'm bad. That's not what I'm saying. It's a conviction of the Holy Spirit who loves you and me so much to say, why don't you come? Why don't you change? So my first call is to those who are unsure about their salvation. And I know this is beautiful church and the pastors here preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I get it. I go to some cold places. This is so warm. You guys are so beautiful. But are you sure you're bought by the blood of the Lamb? And are you sure 100% you're going up in the rapture? Because if the rapture occurs and you stay here, it's going to be really ugly. And that's when the 666 is introduced. And may I tell you, if you don't believe me now, but you do stay, I beg of you, never, ever, not for one second, think about or take that 666 on the right arm or the forehead. Why? Those who do will be damned and condemned forever. They will never go to heaven. There will be no second chance. But look how gracious God is to give you a second chance if you decide to stay. But it's going to be hard, and half of the world's population is going to die at that time. So youngsters, old people, young people, where white, black, educated, not educated, it doesn't matter. We come to the blood. Yes. And the blood does not know skin color. No. The blood does not know education. The blood doesn't decipher, he's strong, she's weak. Bonnet, she's strong, he's weak. Doesn't know. The blood just knows that we're sinners. That all of us have fallen short of God's glory. And that we need him desperately. Shame on me if a patient is dying of a heart attack and I say, you know what, I'll wait until tomorrow, take an aspirin and I'll see you in 24 hours. Wow. If we don't rush them to the cath lab and open up their heart arteries right then to save their life. Shame on me if I don't tell you, you and I were born in sin. And you have to be 100% sure without doubt that, yes, I'm bought. Yes, I come to Calvary. Yes, the blood of Jesus on me. Yes, I'm going to go to heaven. And even if it's today and you're like, I've got all these years. You really? I see one day olds die and I see 105-year-olds die. You don't know and I don't know. So here's the invitation, loved one. Be bold. And with my friends and my family, it doesn't matter. This is a church that loves you. They will be clapping for you. They will honor you. If you are unsure, but I've been here 15 years, it doesn't matter. Today is a day you make this decision. Are you or are you not going to heaven? Are you 100% sure? If you're not, I'm asking you to come forward. Be bold. Is there anyone like that? Or are we all going to heaven here? We'll find out if the rapture occurs right now. You'd be like, what? I'm here. Anybody, come forward if you're unsure. Young people, you got drugs, you got alcohol, you got everything in the world. Come on up. What a strong man. God bless you. Anybody else? This young man is so bold and is so courageous that God is going to put his spirit into him and he is going to do great and mighty works for the Lord. Anybody else? I'm calling you. This is your time. This is your time. This is your time. This is your day. Come on up here. Come on up here. Hey, young two. Come on up. Be bold. Be bold. Anybody else that wants to be prayed over? So for sure, you know, 100. I'm going to heaven. I don't care what anybody says to me. This world is empty. This world has a lot to offer, but it's empty. Hey, buddy. Welcome. Welcome home. Welcome home. Welcome, my dear. Welcome home. Anybody else? This is a special time when the Spirit of God is moving amongst us. And these beautiful people are going to receive not only the blood of the Lamb, but they're going to receive the Holy Ghost. This is a beautiful time. Anybody else? This is my last call. If your heart is beating and you're like, maybe I should go, I don't know. Young people, are you ready to meet your Maker? This has nothing to do with games on television or games on the videos or games on your phone. It has nothing to do with school. This has to do with your eternity, your whole life after this life. Come on. Come on. Anybody else? Come on, youngster. Look at this youngin. Hey, buddy. Hey, bud. Blessings to you. Anybody else? Okay, we're going to pray with these loved ones. We're going to encourage these loved ones. And I'm going to pray, and I want you beautiful peoples to pray with me, yeah? I'm going to say something, and I want you to say it out loud with me. Because once you speak these words, you're bought. You're bought. More are coming. Come on, it's open. It's open. Hello, my dear. Hello, dear. Hello, dear. Good. Okay. When I speak these words, I don't know what I'm going to say. The Holy Spirit will lead me. And I'll speak, and you guys are going to yell it out. It's like, not whispering. Y'all going to hurt me, my ears right here. And we're going to speak it out, and we are going to be confident for the rest of our lives. Satan's going to say, you did this. You just prayed, and in the parking lot, you just cursed. What's wrong with you? He's going to say all stupid. And you're like, you're not in my head no more. My Jesus is in my heart. You belong on my feet. You ugly, get out of my face. Let's go. You ready? Don't pray that. I'm just saying. All right. All right, loved ones, here we go. Y'all going to scream this. Father God.
Father God.
I thank you.
I thank you.
For sending your only son.
Jesus Christ,
God Himself, the Son of God, the lover of my soul, to die on the cross. Oh, I'm looking up right now, Father, and I see the cross.
I see the
blood of Jesus. It's spilling all over me, cleansing me, making me whole. All my sins, all my wrongs, all my mess ups, they're gone. I'm healed. I'm strong. I'm your warrior. I am your child. And when you come back, I will see you face to face. I am a child of God. And nobody can snatch me out of your hands. Hallelujah. I praise you. Amen. God bless you. Y'all stay. Blessings to you. You guys stay, sweetheart. You stay. Next call. I don't know why this is so... It's been churning in my soul. I'm calling you now. Somebody did something nasty or is doing something nasty to you. It was harmful. It was wrong. It broke your heart. It may have even broken your life and your mind and your soul. And you can't forgive. You just
they did wrong and they're going to have to pay. May I just say this to you? If you are going to pay them back, you have a pebble in your pocket. And that pebble might hurt them, but God has a boulder. Let Him deal with it. Let the righteousness of God deal with it, not you. Today's your day of forgiving, to be set free. I'm calling you out. You know who you are. I want you to walk forward. We're going to pray for you. And it's not just one person. It's not one. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. These are brave souls, I'm telling you, sweetheart. These are brave souls. Come on up. You have unforgiveness. Somebody's bothering you. Somebody's hounding you. Somebody has hurt you. And you wish them harm. This is hard to say. This is hard to admit. But for you to be free, finally, come on up. Hello, my dear. Blessings to you, my dear. Thank you for coming up. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, you're going to get healing. The healing is here. You were bold enough to come. If you're going to sit there, the healing is not coming to you. Hi, my dear. Blessings to you. If you're sitting there, the healing is happening. Come on up here. Come on up here now. I cannot even begin to believe that there's only three people. Come on up here now. The Lord is calling you. 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 Thank you. Come on up. Come on up. Yeah. There's a lot of hurt in this life. Come on up. Hello, my dear. Blessings to you. Hey, young man. Blessings, blessings, blessings to you, my dear. Anybody else? Anybody else who need? He's like, I can't carry this anymore. It's all over my shoulder. It's all over my soul. It's all over my heart. I can't do this anymore. I can't live like this. Hello, my dear. Blessings to you. Anybody else? There's another person. You know who you are. You know what's been done. Come on up. Come on up. You're going to be set free today. You're going to let go. You're going to let go today. You're going to let go today. In the name of Jesus. This is when the church gets healed. Now I'm going to pray with these loved ones. My last call for those who just need, like, take it off of me. Take this off of me. Take the bitterness, the anger, the pain, the hurt, the sorrow. Get it off. Get it off. Yes. Come on up. Yes. Come on up. Yes. Get it off of me. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's be healed. You don't need no psychology. You need Jesus. Let's be healed. Thank you. They're coming. They're coming. Hi, my dear. Hello, my dear. Come on. I see you. They're coming. Hey, buddy. Hi, my dear. Come on, mama. Beautiful mama, come on. God is here. His Holy Spirit's here. He is amongst us. He is amongst us, loved ones. He is amongst us. I'm going to pray for these loved ones now. And these first soldiers that came up are Marines. You guys pray too. It's okay. It's all right. These are our Marines here that came. Here comes the Army. Okay. Y'all ready to pray? You ready to... Y'all look at me.
You're ready to release. You're ready to let go. And by doing this today, I want you to understand one thing. You are not saying that what they did was right. You are not letting them be free of the justice that comes to them. You are just saying, here's my pebble. I take it out. I'm done with my pebble. God's got the boulder. He deals with them. I have no say-so. And I know this is crazy. I know this is crazy. You're even going to be able to bless them. I know it sounds crazy. There was a pastor who I used to go to church in Southern California who we had a Sunday school class that was like over 200 people, and I used to speak there, and they canceled me because I was talking about Jesus, the blood, and all that. And they threw me out of the church, not for sin, not for badness, but for preaching the gospel. And I was so angry at him. And to the point where I was like, I hate him for what he did to me. Because all the 250 people I spoke to were like family to me. And the way they did it was so rotten. And God's like, you need to bless him. And I'm like, I know you ain't talking to me. Channels, wrong channels. He's talking to me. And so I started blessing him. And I'm like, God bless him. And he goes, not like that. Not with clenched teeth. Bless him. And I started blessing him so hard. And then finally, I got to the point where, like, God bless him. For real. And I saw him at Costco one day and gave him a big hug. Ain't that a trip? So what I'm trying to tell you is today, you're not only releasing them, but you're going to have health and joy and goodness come and visit you. Health, joy, and goodness is going to come and visit you by God's grace. And the Spirit of God is going to change everything. Your body's going to change. Your mind is going to change. Your whole person is going to change. You're going to be a different person today. In the name of Jesus, y'all ready? Y'all ready to release? Yeah. We don't need to know what happened. You know what happened. You know it was unjust. You know it was wrong. Here we go. You ready? You're going to scream it out because it's been sitting on your chest for a very long time. And today it is being sent to the pits of hell. And it's not coming back. Y'all ready? Father God, I thank you. I worship you. Father, as the blood drips all over me, your blood, your pure blood, your righteous blood, your holy blood, your forgiving blood, you forgave me. And I'm so thankful. Father, you know what this person or that person did to me. You know my pain. You know my sorrow. You see my anger. You see my bitterness. You see my hurt. You see how I'm broken. I give it up. I put it in your hands. Take over, Papa. Take over my mind. Take over my heart. Take over my soul. I forgive them. I am free. I am blessed. Joy. Joy. Joy has returned to my soul. And I am so thankful. And Father, help me. Bless the people who have hurt me. You take care of them, Father. Into your hands. And I am in your hands. And forevermore, I am free. I am strong. I am thankful. Holy Spirit, I belong to you. Move in me and change my mind and change my soul. I am so thankful. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. Celebration. Celebration. This is the last call for the dry bones. Dry bones. Life hurts.
Life is not making sense. You're looking at like, I should have been here, but I'm not. And what's happening to my life? Why am I not succeeding? Why am I failing? Why am I falling? Why am I hurting? Why is things empty in my life? What's going on? Why do I feel like I'm in the valley of dry bones? I want to be like an army. I want to stand. I'm tired of being a wimp. I'm tired of not even being able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ because I'm shy. I'm not bold like I should be. I need help. If that's you today in the valley of dry bones and you want to change today to be standing like a great army, I'm inviting you to come up and we're going to pray over you in the name of Jesus Christ. I will be the first to step down because I need the Spirit of the living God in me, otherwise I fail.
That's right. Right.
Come. Come. Dry bones, come. Let the 500 billion cells start churning today. Let them churn. Let them churn in you. That's right. This is your day. Your day of those dry bones coming back to life. This is what we're going to do. We're going to have these dry bones come to life in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. You guys are so bold. I love boldness. I love how people get bold. You're not scared. In the name of Jesus, boldness, boldness, boldness. Come on up, dry bones. Come on up, dry bones. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on, dry bones. In the name of Jesus, I'm getting it from you. Name of Jesus. You're going to change today. Everything's going to be new. Everything is coming to new. Newness in life, newness spirit, newness of mind, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, 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 Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son. Any more dry bones, including myself? Anybody living in the barrenness, wilderness, uncertainty, confusion, going, what do I do in this situation? How can I overcome in this situation? What do you want me to do, Father? I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. Help me. Help me, God. I'm here. I'm just throwing myself at you. I'm done with myself. I need you now. Help me. Oh, and he is so near. Psalm 46:1. He is so near. So close. He is here today. This is the surgery of surgeries done by the Holy Spirit. This is what's happening in your life right now. So I want you to close your eyes and first imagine the situation you're in and say, I don't know what to do. I really don't. I'm scared. I'm confused. Do I go left? Do I go right? Do I go straight? Do I sit down? Do I speak? Do I shut up? What do I do? What do I do? That's the situation. Now I want you, as Peter went from, I'm scared, the damsel scared, I want you to come on the other side and say, the Holy Spirit is now falling on me. I have the blood of the Lamb. And the Holy Spirit is moving in me. And I'm going to do one thing that I haven't done in a long time. I'm going to trust. I am going to trust the Lord in this nasty situation. I am going to say, you are God, you are King, you are Lord, and I trust you. I trust you with this situation or situation. I trust you. I'm giving it up. I'm just giving it up. And I know I shall... The anterior cruciate, the posterior cruciate ligament, they're coming together. Do you see it? They're coming together in your life. And this is not hocus pocus where everything is going to go, peachy. I'm just saying, as you walk through the valley of shadow of death, God is with you. He will not leave you. He will not fail you. Just walk through the Red Sea. And let's do what Job did. Though he slay me, I still will trust in him.
I still am going to trust him. I'm still going to trust you, Lord. Y'all ready to pray? Okay, Marines, Army, now we got the Navy. We're all going to pray together. Y'all ready? All right. Father God, I come before you, and I cannot even believe that in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, you tell me, you invite me to come boldly to the throne of grace. So here am I. I'm not worthy, but I'm carrying the blood. The blood of Jesus. The blood of righteousness. The blood of favor. The blood of goodness. The blood of forgiveness. I'm your child, and I'm in love with you. Papa, you see me. You see my faults. You see my shortcomings. You even see my mess ups. And you love me anyway. And I'm so thankful. I let go of it. I let go of my past. I let go of my mess ups. I let go of my sins. And I come to you. Wash me. Cleanse me. Strengthen me. And Papa, look at the bones. Oh, they look so dry. In fact, they are dry. So I'm asking you. I know you'll do it. Because you are God. And you love me. Touch my dry bones. Heal me. Strengthen me. And Father, send me. In the name of Jesus. And through the power of the Holy Spirit. Hope. Hope. Hope has returned to my soul. I am part of your army. And I am no longer the same. I am bold. I am a warrior. I am yours. And I trust you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. One more prayer. And I want to call out Pastor Randy and Pastor Nicole and Eric Smith. We're going to pray over them. I want them to come up here. Obviously, this is not intentional. The whole thing was orchestrated by God. I did not plan it. I did not say this will be good and that. Loved ones, I'm in God's hands. And I want to pray, and I want all of us to pray over these souls. I don't think we understand the weight that's upon them, what they carry, what they do, how they do it. And they have the Spirit of the living God. We're just going to ask for an extra large anointing upon them. Amen? Amen. Amen. And what's that?
I don't have to go.
Oh, it's okay. We'll pray over them that are going, but you're here. You are here. The church needs you, beautiful peoples. Y'all ready to raise your hand towards them? In the name of Jesus, Father, I bless these beautiful souls. Father God, you are with them. They are your mighty warriors. We have Deborah here. We have warriors of the living God here. And Father, I bless them in the name of Jesus Christ. I ask that the Spirit of the living God breaks down walls that need to be broken. And I ask the Spirit of the living God to build up walls that need to be built. I ask boldness like they've never had. I ask favor like they've never had. I ask blessings like they've never had to fall upon them, their lives, their families, what they say, what they do. In the name of Jesus, Father, I ask that heaven's door be open upon them and you fall upon them, and they will never come to a point where, what do I do? They're always saying, oh, my God is with me through this situation, and he's going to get me through just like he has all the years of my life. And I pray a blessing over this church. I pray a blessing over all the peoples. I pray a blessing in their lives, at their work, work, at their houses, where they play, where they sleep, where they work, where they study. I pray a blessing over them in the name of Jesus in such a way that the outside enemies will look and say, something is stirring in this church. Something is happening. There's a fire of the Holy Ghost that has fallen, and we want to be a part of it. In the name of Jesus, 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 we pray. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Amen and amen. God bless you all. You may be seated, loved ones. I'll be outside where the books are to pray for you, say hi to you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.